research scientist at the Manitoba Center of Health Quality and an assistant professor in the Department of Community Health Services. He received his master's in public health from University of California, Los Angeles, and his PhD in maternal and child health policy at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Dr. Nickel uses administrative data to conduct policy focused outcomes research as well as research into the organization of healthcare system. Prior to coming to Manitoba, Dr. Nickel conducted implementation and evaluation research of health policies and interventions in U.S. and beyond. Dr. Nickel currently serves as the secretary of the Breastfeeding Forum of APHA and also sits on the Breastfeeding Forum's Policy Review Committee. Well, Dr. Nickel, welcome, and the title of your talk is Using Big Data for Health Policy Research, a Project of the Pathways to Health and Social Equity Program of Research.
Yeah, thank you. And one of my co-authors is going to be talking a little bit more about some of the uses of our data, but I thought I'd use our time together to talk about the creation of our data resource, which is somewhat similar to what exists in California. So the PATHS Equity data resource came out of a program of research that we're currently doing up in Manitoba in order to understand what works to reduce health inequities in children, as well as to what works to improve child health. We're using an integrated knowledge translation approach, and this is something that's really important to emphasize when I get to the data that we're using. What this means is that from the very beginning of the project, even before we received funding, we brought together key stakeholders and decision makers ask them what sorts of questions do you have around health and health equity and would you like us to look into? And so around the table sat the ministers of health, education, we also had deputy ministers, we had different decision makers at Manitoba Health, which is our health insurance program in Manitoba, and we all worked together to identify programs that would be of interest to study. We identified 12 programs that we're looking at, and for each of these programs we're asking two questions. First is the program associated with improved overall health and well-being of children, and the second is this program reducing socioeconomic inequalities or gaps in health. And we also had a goal to work on developing population-based methods for equity measurement using administrative data. So the decision was made that in order to be efficient and effective with working towards these goals, we needed to build a comprehensive data resource which we could use, and it would be available for all projects within the program of study. We wanted to make sure that there was consistency in how each of our covariates were being defined, and as well as our outcome definitions. And we did this using data from the Manitoba Population Health Research Data Repository. So I want you to consider for a moment that when someone goes to the doctor, they generate some administrative health data. And that can be whether you go to your primary care physician, whether you go to emergency, whether you take out a prescription drug, whether you go to hospital. All of these contacts with the healthcare system generate administrative data. Also, I want you to imagine all potential contacts with the justice system. So for example, say someone gets arrested for driving while under the influence, or say somebody, family has a police come because of a domestic violence dispute, or any number of involvements with the justice system that you can imagine. These also will generate administrative data records. And then imagine that as a child is growing up, they generate data and administrative records from their contacts with the education system. So all of their grades that they earn in school, all of the marks that they get on standardized tests, whether they are taking a full course load in grade 9, whether they completed high school on time. And then finally, think about all of the social services. So here in the U.S., we have WIC. Up in Manitoba, we have something called the Healthy Child Prenatal Benefit, which is a $81 check that is sent to qualifying women during pregnancy. We have other programs such as a home visiting program, and other social services that a child can be exposed to during their as they grow up. And so with each of these contacts, there's administrative data that are generated. And imagine then if we could bring all of those data and link them together to form a comprehensive picture about what's happening with that child. So that's what the repository allowed us to do with this PADS data resource. And so over here you see the variety of different data that we have access to. So we have every single hospital record that happens in Manitoba, every single prescription drug, if someone is receiving home care, emergency visits, vital statistics, data information about the provider that's giving the care. We also have immunization data, social services, education. And so all of these data from all across all of these sectors are then linkable using the our population health registry. And what that is that when you become a resident of Manitoba, you get to be enrolled in their universal health care coverage. And with that comes a personal health information number. So, for example, I'm an American citizen. I moved up to Manitoba in 2012. After 3 months, I also got a personal health information number, and so now I'm in this data repository as well. So as these data are being collected, just with the routine delivery of healthcare, education, and social services, justice, the data are collected and they're sent off to they're sent off to two entities. Over here is the program data. So this is the information, like if you were in if we're dealing with an education data set, this would be a child's school marks. If you're dealing with a healthcare data set, this might be some of the diagnostic codes that a person receives. And then this here is an internal reference number, or kind of like you can think a study ID. And then this would be all of the personal identifying information. So the data are split, and the data with the identifying information as well as the internal reference number gets sent to Health Information Management, which is an agency at the government. And then the program data and the internal reference number get sent over to the Manitoba Center for Health Policy. At Health Information Management, they strip off all of the identifying information and they replace it with a scrambled FIN. And that scrambled FIN is still attached to the internal reference number, and then that then serves as a crosswalk file, which we can use to connect databases from a variety of different sources, like I mentioned earlier. And so what that allows us to do, because this is a population-based registry, it includes everyone who's in Manitoba, we're able to monitor every child who's living in Manitoba. And since this is a child health project, we're looking at every child living in Manitoba from the ages of 0 to 18 years of age. Our database goes back quite a number of years. In fact, it goes back to 1971, and we actually have some education records going back to the 40s. But our resource here is limited to individuals who are between the ages of 0 and 18 years of age at some point during the years 1984 to 2014. A child doesn't have to be in Manitoba for the entire period in order to be included in this resource. So if a child moves into Manitoba at the age of 10 in 2000, they would then be in the resource from 2000 up until 2008 when they turned 18. So right now the resource includes almost 600,000 individuals. And so then the temporary linkages allow us to develop a really holistic picture about what's happening to that child through their development. The personal health information number has another identifier, which allows us to also link children within families, allows us to link children with their mothers, and starting to look at some intergenerational health outcomes that might be of interest. As well, we can do, because we can link siblings, we can pursue some sibling analyses for some other causal questions that might be of interest in program evaluation. This slide is a dense slide, I'll walk you through it. So for example, in the prenatal period, or really preconception, we can get information on the mother, so her age, her marital status. We can get information about her healthcare use, so the number of prenatal care visits, while she's pregnant. We can know whether or not she is receiving any social assistance programs, such as the prenatal benefit. And we can also get a sense for the socioeconomic status in the neighborhood where the mother is living during pregnancy. And then at birth, we can get where the mom is living when the child is born. We know the child's parity, birth spacing. Because of the diagnostic data we have in the registry, we're able to know gestational age, Apgar score, birth weight, whether or not the baby was breastfed, delivery method, and a number of other outcomes around birth. We know whether the baby is receiving the family's first home visiting program and other child health programs. We know whether or not the child is living in a house that's supported with social housing or social housing program, whether the family is receiving income assistance. And we can move through childhood. So in early childhood, we can start looking at their education attainment, whether or not they're diagnosed with mental health outcomes, such as ADHD or conduct disorder, whether they're receiving vaccinations and whether those are on time. Early development indicators for whether or not they're ready for school, so that comes from the education data, and then we can follow them up into high school. So we can get a really complex and complete picture about what's happening with that child throughout their life course. To give you a little bit of a sample of what's been happening in Manitoba with children over the past several years. So one of the things that we found out was that the median age at first birth has been declining since the early 80s. Something else that we looked at was we looked at inequities in breastfeeding initiation. So as was mentioned, I'm involved in breastfeeding research. And so we saw here that the absolute gap between the lowest income quintile and the highest income quintile remained relatively constant over the 20-year period. We also looked at this for each different hospital, and we found some interesting trends and inequities there, and are starting to look at what some predictors of inequity for breastfeeding might be. And we also looked at income quintile at birth, so what proportion of babies are being born to low-income women. And that line is represented here by this light blue. And so you see that the proportion of children being born to low-income women has been increasing in Manitoba over the past 20 years. This was of interest to us, so then we wanted to look at, well, what is actual income inequality in our province? And so we calculated a Gini coefficient, which is a summarized measure of income inequality over our, from 1988 up to 2011. And we found that that has been increasing significantly over the past 20 years as well. We can also follow individuals through time, so as a child ages. So this is looking at the percent of children who are born in families and living in families who are receiving income assistance. And if we look at this first cohort here of children born in the early 80s, we find that the percentage has been decreasing 8% to just under 2%. And you notice that that would mean that they're about 10 years of age in 1995 up until about 18. There's some seats up here as well. Yeah. Let's see. No worries. Okay, I think we're safe. Um, So then we, if we look at an older cohort, so children born in 1987 to 89, we again see the percentage of children living in families receiving income assistance, and this is an older, younger cohort still. And so then if we look, if we identify a group of children who are actually born during observation period, we see that there's a spike around 2 to 4 years of age and, amongst, for percentage of children receiving income assistance. And so we saw this consistently regardless of which cohort we examined in our resource. So there's a number of other indicators that we could go into, and Dan will look at, we'll talk with you about some of them. But another key piece about this resource is our metadata repository. It's not, it's one of the things that we've learned is that it's not just enough to have all of these data. It's essential that the data are used consistently across projects in order to make sure that our findings can relate with one another. And so we've developed this a couple of different things here. The first is a concept dictionary, which includes all of the concepts that are included in our repository. And they talk about, and the dictionary talks about how our, these constructs and variables are supposed to be operationalized, and as well as using validated algorithms. And Dan's going to be talking about one of those for use with administrative data. We also have almost like an online forum at the center where as we use the data, if we discover some idiosyncrasies, we can go into this forum and provide feedback or ask questions relating to some of the idiosyncrasies that we uncover, and then we can go back and fix those where necessary or change some of our definitions as necessary as well. For example, one of another project that we're looking at is around costing. So as well, we have costing data with every single contact with the healthcare system. And we noticed some variability that was somewhat unexpected with how costing data were being recorded. And so I and another colleague went in and made some comments about it, and then that generated some discussion amongst some of us who used the costing data. And then we went to Manitoba Health to talk about, well, why are the costing data being recorded this way here and slightly another way in another facility? So it allows this constant feedback to occur, and it allows also information flow between the different users of our data. So we have a team of research scientists, but we also have data analysts who do the SAS syntax, and we also have data management as well. All of us are using the data from slightly different perspectives. Why we're sharing this, and one of the things that we were hoping to be able to come out of this presentation is just some awareness that this is actually a resource that is useful. It can be used and is being used by individuals outside of Manitoba. So you don't have to be a Manitoban in order to use our data. And in fact, we have researchers from Australia, from Europe, from the US, who have used our data and have published studies from our data. Now, this here is a resource that if you're specifically a child health researcher, or if you're specifically interested in child health equity, this will streamline the process for you, because you won't have to generate all of those codes and syntax in order to construct your variables. We've done all of that legwork for you so that it can be a less costly project for you. And as well, that will facilitate consistency between someone else's project who is outside the center as well as people who are inside the center. And another strength is being able to bring in that rich set of non-health data in order to start to understand what some of those social determinants of health are. Sometimes we can be siloed and with our access to data. The fact that we are able to know how well a school did in high school as well as their health outcomes is a real strength for doing research. One final thing is that we are currently recruiting, if this has piqued your interest, we're recruiting a Canada Research Chair. That position just opened up last week. And so if you're interested, come see me and developing a program of research around public health using these data. Thanks.